going to talk to you first about the soda fountain.
Tell us a little bit about the...
Why don't we get going? Why don't we start out by letting our television name and the information we know there? All right, okay. Ready? All right. Give us your name and the year we lived in Coppell. Notre Dame, Cherry, and I lived here briefly before living in Sickleville, and then at the age of three when my mother died in the World War One flu epidemic, I was moved to Coppell, where my grandparents, Joe and Lou McCard, lived on the old J.D. Sweet farm a mile and a half northwest of Coppell.
Mildred, tell us a little bit. I guess there's an interesting but tragic story that happened at Miss Minnie's soda fountain. Could you tell us a little bit about the soda fountain accident and what happened?
Yes, Miss Minnie McGee, who ran the combination drugstore and post office in Coppell for years and was still running it when I moved away in 1929, was married to Brian McGee. They ran a small soda fountain in the drugstore and post office, and it blew up and blew Brian's head off, which rolled on the floor. And after a great number of years, Miss Minnie finally had a mental breakdown.
So, and you were a child at the time, and you remember hearing about it.
Yes. Tell us
where that drugstore was located.
It was located across the road from Emmett Gentry's garage and south for two or three buildings.
On Coppell Road.
All right. And then there was another, why don't you tell us a little bit about a spelling bee that you participated in when you were in, I think, second grade?
No, it would have been about the fourth grade when Lorraine Gentry and I participated in a Dallas County spelling bee. All of the Dallas County elementary schools had gathered to spell. Lorraine and I spelled them all down and then began spelling against each other in order to get the rewards. When it was time to go home, we were still spelling, so we split the reward, which was $2.50 each.
And tell us what y'all did with your $2.50.
We bought rings. Lorraine bought a gold signet ring, and I bought a gold ring with my birthstone, a yellow topaz in it.
And you said that you learned to spell. Tell us how you learned to spell so well, one of the ways.
I learned to spell in my grandmother's old blueback speller. And I think you might be interested in a Christmas party that J.D. Sweet had in the upper floor of his old two-story farmhouse, colonial farmhouse, before he moved to Wichita Falls.
Tell us about that.
All right. When my mother first died, we lived west, the side of the manor house, and we didn't move to the manor house until Jeff had speculated in oil and come wealthy in Wichita Falls. But anyhow, Jeff was still in the manor house at this time and invited us to the upper story for a Christmas party. For several Christmases, Jeff and Grandpa exchanged a pigtail beautifully wrapped in gift paper, so that each one thought he was getting a gift, and when he unwrapped it, he got a pigtail. On the last Christmas before Jeff went to Wichita, Grandpa unwrapped his gift, and it was a beautiful fountain pen.
Oh.
And my grandpa, Joe McCarter, was so thrilled, so excited. And then Jeff, who was always up to date with things, had purchased one of the first phonographs, an old Edison with a great big horn. It was a square box, about 2 feet square, and had a big horn.
Mm-hmm.
And he put a record on, which was entitled Uncle Josh. And it went like this. It was about a black preacher. And it went like this. Preach without hunting on one Sunday morning. Washed his religion, but he carried his gun along. He killed himself some mighty fine quail, and then he shot a big hare. And on his way returning home, he met a big grizzly bear. The bear sat down in the middle of the road, and the preacher climbed out on a limb. He cast his eyes to the Lord in the skies, and this voice said to him, "Oh Lord, if you can't help me, don't help that grizzly bear."
That's right. Well, tell us a little bit of your memories of the depot. You went down to the depot. Was that sort of a gathering spot for the community?
Well, we would go down there to await incoming trains. And incidentally, at the cotton belt, we had to flag the train with an old-fashioned lantern.
Mm-hmm.
There were no electric lights in Coppell.
Okay.
And we would sit in the depot awaiting the train, and the men would vie with, old men chewing tobacco, would vie with each other in who could hit the spit tin across the floor. So therefore, the floor was well sprinkled with packages.
But can I ask her about that?
Sure.
The depot. When you're talking about going to the depot, kind of what year would that be that you're thinking about?
That was in the early 20s.
1920s.
I lived in Coppell I lived here briefly before Dad moved to Sugarville, but we moved back permanently in 1918 after my mother died, and lived here until I lived here until 1929.
Now, do you remember the depot being there all that time?
Yes.
The same depot.
Mm-hmm.
The same building. And was it, there were a couple of depot buildings that were there. We're trying to place, we think this was the original big one that had maybe a waiting room on one side and, an office? Or do you remember anything about that?
Can you describe the
building? It was a long building built out of heavy lumber.
Can you remember the color of it?
Painted yellow.
Painted yellow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And on the left, as you were going into it, on the left side was a sort of a waiting room?
They just had benches in this one big room.
Mm-hmm.
And we sat on the benches.
So when you remember it, it was just one long room. No, mm-hmm. No divided room.
It might have had a little ticket room. I think it did.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you ever remember a time when you don't remember a time when that went was no longer in existence or hearing about it?
No. Years after I left, I heard that Coppell had sold the old depot and to someone who moved it away.
Mm-hmm.
And the old Jeff Sweet windmill was sold to someone in Grapevine.
When you talk about the Jeff Sweet house that you lived in, which was northwest of Coppell, on what used to be called Sweet Road, Sandy Lake now?
No, Sandy Lake's north of the farm.
I believe she lived in one of the houses that was off of Bethel. It was a little gravel road. Different Sweet brothers owned different sections of land, and I think she's been one that was on the Bethel Road.
So have you sort of located where that was?
There's still a row of trees where the gravel lane, was it, made this farm there?
So that's the road that goes north off of Bethel Road. It's just a gravel road now. It's getting developed now.
Right.
Okay, I got it. It attaches to state road.
Dallas County, Tarrant County
line. Right there from Miami.
It was a row of rural mailboxes there at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Emmett Coates was a rural mail dude.
And you told me a story about your grandmother, I believe, a religious grandmother, and something about going to see. Okay, your grandmother had taught you some principles, and there's something that occurred with you and a friend about a watermelon. Can you tell us about that?
Ruth Dickerson, a little friend a year younger than I, and I went down the little creek to the back of Uncle Burl Howe's watermelon patch and got a watermelon, cracked it open, and ate it right there. That's when watermelon tastes better, you know, when you crack it in the field and eat it with your hands. But my very religious grandmother, Lou McCullard, had instilled principles and morality in me, so my conscience bothered me, and I said, Ruth, that was wrong, and we're going to tell Uncle Burl what we did. So we went to see Uncle Burl and knocked on his back door. I said, Uncle Burl, Ruth and I went in the back of your watermelon patch yesterday and got one of your watermelons, and I'm sorry. Uncle Burl said, that's all right, honey.
You didn't get punished.
Uncle Burl knew that I'd lost my mother at an early age, and he sort of pampered me.
Oh, that's great. Well, and I asked you a question about how you two young girls traveled all the way from the west side of town to Uncle Burl's farm, which was way over on the east side of town. So tell us about that, how you got there, and what mode of transportation you used.
We were barefooted. And that was the shortest way to get there. It was longer to walk around the road.
So you went...
Besides, if we went around the road, one of those old Model T's might come along.
So you travel along the creek, is that right? Or along the creek,
Yes.
Okay. And no one, it didn't bother anyone that two young girls were out together traveling all over town?
Oh no. In those years, people didn't even lock their doors or windows. We had no electricity in Coppell for a long, long time.
Do you remember what year people started getting electricity in Coppell?
It was in the, it was in the middle 20s. I don't remember the exact year.
Sure.
But my Uncle Jack Dickerson, he was my uncle by marriage, he married my aunt, Josie McCoy, and he built the first radios that Coppell had, which were, he would build a box about that big square and paint it, and then put the crystals on top of it, and he had earphones. That was why you heard radio in those days. And if a guest came, you'd pull one side of your, one of your earphones off and lend it to your guest.
That's great. Tell us about your experience at an early age on a windmill.
Oh, I was a climber. I loved to climb. I would climb so high I would be afraid to come down. Sit up there on the barn or in the mulberry tree or wherever. So I took, at this particular time, I took my grandmother's old silk, black silk umbrella with the intent of opening it up on top of the windmill and holding on to it and just floating across the horizon. I've always had an avid curiosity and wanted to travel. So that was my little girl's idea of the way I could travel. I could float across the horizon, see what was beyond, my grandmother stood down below, and I was stubborn and wouldn't come down until she told me that umbrella would turn wrong side out, and I couldn't float with it, but my guts would splatter on the ground. That, I was so frightened, I came down, but she had to climb up the ladder and help me.
Pete, you want to ask a question?
Well, of course, tell us about any time you were ever in the old Coppell School. Did you go to school there?
Yes. I went there the first 4 years of my schooling. And the Cummings boys and another boy, I don't remember who was with them, beat up the principal. We had a mean principal that nobody liked.
What was his name?
So I don't remember his name. And he immediately left, and the government sent an army man, a 19-year-old army man in that old World War One uniform, you know. He was a very handsome young man, dark hair and dark eyes, Mr. Flagg. All of the girls fell in love with him, and all of the boys respected him. But the boys who had beaten up the principal thought they would run Mr. Flagg off. Mr. Flagg, well, in the first place, the boys were standing about where you're standing. Mr. Flagg backed up about 2 feet, pulled off that black, wide black belt. It was about that wide. So, okay, come on. They didn't back him up.
So did he get to stay a while?
Very mature 19-year-old man.
Did he stay a while then?
He stayed until we got a permanent teacher.
Mm-hmm. Now, this building was two stories.
Yes, and it was later condemned, and Red and Pearl Stringfellow, who ran the water well for a while, and Pearl ran the first telephone office, one of those old telephone units, you know, where you plug little plugs in.
Switchboard. Mm-hmm.
And they bought the old building and tore it down and built two houses there. Jean, didn't you say their house is still there?
It's the Stringfellow house, I think.
Oh.
Just right.
I think she's probably talking about the wood and the Arnett house, but might be the Stringfellow house, or the Kirkland house.
I hope the Kirkland house will be restored.
Thank you.
Was one of the two that they built the Kirkland house? Was it the Kirkland house and the Stringfellow?
Kirkland Stringfellow, same thing. But it was built in 1904. I think it's a little bit further over. I think the school.
Kirkland House was already there.
Already there.
I think the school is probably between the Art Annex and Mountain Bridge.
Kirkland House was originally out in Newman.
With new material. Do you know what? Can you tell us the two houses that were built out of the material from the school? Do you remember what family?
Could it have been the
That was Red and Pearl Stringfellow that bought it and built their home on the road,
okay.
And then they built a rent house behind it.
So that's what we call the Woods House, not our Nance House. I remember.
And that's on the north side, isn't it?
No, it's on the south side.
It's the south side.
Do you remember the kind of, was there anything unusual about the windows in the schoolhouse that you're talking about?
It had stained glass windows. And when I first began oil painting, I painted a picture of a church that haunted me, and I had hung that painting on the wall for 2 or 3 weeks before I remembered that I had subconsciously painted the old Baptist church. I even had the little building behind it, a little brick coal building that we had back there. We had in the church, we had one of those big round, some kind of belly stove.
Mm-hmm. But you're saying that the stained glass windows were in the school, the two-story school building?
It wasn't. No, in the church, Baptist church.
Okay. But
what about the windows in the school? Did they happen to be the kind that were turned sideways, triangular, anything like that? We have some pictures.
They were big windows that we could raise up because there was no air conditioning and no kind of air except those.
You remember?
And that was when the big boys jumped through the window and played hooky after they beat the principal up.
Do you remember the names of any of those boys?
Let's see, there was Shorty Cummings. His younger brother, J.C. Cummings. And I think there was a Patrick Cummings. Their father, Will Cummings, lived in the old Sanders home. It was sort of on a rise west of, down Bethel Road, west of Popper. And the Uncle Wiley, I told Gene, we called all of the old people Aunt and Uncle. And Uncle Wiley and Aunt Lena had moved great there. Rented the old house to Will Cummings.
Do you have any memory of, like, maybe one of the general stores in Old Coppell? The Howell, would it be the Howell store? Or?
Yes, the old brick building was run by Uncle Bill Stringfellow when my mother first died.
So now there was a brick building in old downtown Coppell?
Yes, it was run by Uncle Bill Stringfellow. It was a combination grocery and hardware store.
Mm-hmm.
And he had, in the upstairs part of it, he had a coffin with a skeleton. And when the lodge, Wooden and the World, met in the building across the street from there, they would bring the new members over there to see the skeleton in order to initiate them.
And this building was on the north side of Bethel?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And the old bank run by Ernest Gentry was on the west side of Uncle Bill's building.
On the west side of Uncle Bill's building.
And you say it was...
No, the east side of Uncle Bill's building.
Mm-hmm.
And you say it was made of brick?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Both, all the way up, both stories?
I was just 3 years old when my grandmother and grandfather first took me in there. And they were drinking the Coke in those tiny little bottles of Coke first came in.
Mm-hmm.
I said, give me some of that whiskey. I had heard somebody talk about whiskey, and I thought that's what they were drinking. Uncle Bill thought that was so funny.
What about the bank that you mentioned? Do you remember ever being in it?
Yes, the bank went broke in the early 20s. And a lot of Coppell people lost a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Ernest Gentry was president.
And if you were walking in the front door of the bank, to the left of it, what store would be to the left of it, to the west of it? Would that be the general store, the hardware store you're talking about?
It was to the, on the west side of the bank.
Okay. And on the east side of the bank, there really wasn't anything.
And then on past that was the water well and the old phone building back
mm-hmm.
behind the barber shop.
Mm-hmm. And to the east of the bank, there really wasn't anything.
There was also a big building there that, an unpainted store building that was run by, a grocery store was run there in the late 20s by my step-grandfather.
Is that the one you were telling me about?
It looks like it. That's all I can say.
Can you hold that up? Maybe, I don't know if that will show up or not, but this was what she was telling me, was that this was a store, a frame stretcher on the front with no sign. Is that correct? That it didn't have a sign?
Right.
She's talking about this strange front.
This one right here.
Mm-hmm.
It burned in 1928 when my grandfather, Willie Dickerson, was running.
So that would account for why it looks like it does in that picture, you think?
Somewhat. I think mm-hmm. they said it looked like it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this was before it burned, right?
Mm-hmm.
Before it burned. And what did he have in that store? Did he tell me that he had
No, he just had groceries there. It was like a Bill's thing, so it was head hardware.
One last question about the buildings. When you're going into the bank, we know what was to the west of it. Was there anything major to the east of it?
Residence. Yeah.
But there was an empty field, wasn't there? There.
Tom Standerson lived on that street. Mm-hmm. He was a farmer. Mm-hmm. Tom and his wife, Maud Standerson. Mm-hmm. They had a daughter, a little younger than I, Tom Elbow Standerson.
And that building's gone now. Yeah. Well, that's interesting.
So, if you want to
ask her about this. I don't know. Does she recognize this?
She did not remember that at all.
This is probably before 1900. We don't know exactly where this was located.
Mm-hmm.
We think this was probably the predecessor of the drugstore that you were talking about. But this is probably the building that was there before McGee's drugstore.
The old drugstore, the post office wasn't there.
Mm-hmm. Tell me how Capel got his name that you remember, what you know.
When Aunt Nora Stringfellow was renting rooms on the south side corner of Bethel and Capel Road, I went to see her because I'd heard she had a parent that was a kisser. I went to see the parent and I got acquainted with Aunt Nora. And Aunt Nora was fussing about Bob Russell gathering some old men at the den and gambling his wife on a And Aunt Nora snorted. She said, Capel. Should have named it Hot Hell.
That's a good story. Think back also how Capel, the stories that you heard about how the town became named Capel. What stories do you remember about how it got its name originally?
I don't really know how it was originally named.
Okay.
But I know that I sometimes hear people mispronouncing it on television. They call it Copel.
Right.
First one thing and then another.
Yeah, right. But you never did hear any tale or any story about how it got its name?
No, I didn't.
Or that changed its name?
No.
I can't think of anything else. I did ask you about Bethel School, and you say you never saw it.
No.
Do you think by the late 20s when you moved that even the building was probably gone?
I don't remember seeing a school building, mm-hmm. So it must have been gone.
Mm-hmm. Well, we know that when the school you went to consolidated, we know there was no Bethel School. We just wondered when.
See, most of our travel was done by wagon and buggy in those days. Jeff Lee had a surrey with a fringe on top, red tassels on his horses. And then in 1923, my father bought a Ford. And Dad used to sing a song about old Sick Perkinson, hardly ever done, gosh dang fool, for his money right away. He went in and stood, sitting on a board, and came back riding in a brand new gosh dang Ford kept right on the going. Gosh dang Ford kept right on the head. Gosh dang Ford kept right on the going, and keep on going till we all are dead.
That's great.
And Daddy's song went on and on. That's all I remember. I regret not writing it down because the farmer that was learning to drive the old Ford went through another farmer's chicken yard, scared his chicken. So it was really fun.
What about the automobile that had the flower vases? What was that?
After Jeff Lee left the manor house and moved to Wichita Falls, he bought one of the newest of cars. I don't remember what make it was, but it had a silver vase on each side of between the back seat and the front seat. And Jeff would put a rose in those vases for us to, when we rode to church. He did everything in style.
Well, and you also said that he was the first one who brought, tell about him bringing his own electrical system. You told about that.
Yes, he had a blacksmith shop, and then on the north side of the blacksmith shop, he had another room with a Delco system in it. And he just hooked up electricity for his wife before Cocktail ever had electricity.
Right.
Help me locate that in old downtown Cocktail. Was that blacksmith shop located on the north side of
Jeff's sweet farm?
I believe
so
it was
close
out.
To where you lived?
It was on Jeff's farm.
Now, and Jeff's farm was in the north, one of the north.
One and a half miles northwest of Cocktail.
So
I used to walk
over on
Fleet
Road.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. I just want to make sure, I know we need to stop, but I want to make sure that we still have contact with her and sometime in the future. Where do you live?
I live in the very edge of Oak Cliff in Dallas.
Not that far away.
Mm-hmm.
That we're not going to come to you every day, but maybe sometime we could come to you with a list of questions and say, what do you think about these things? Would you be willing to do that?
Yes.
We could write you or call you or something like that.
She also said that she would share some of her photographs with us.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So we would love to do that.
I'm an international poet. I would like to share some.
We'd like to have some of your poems, too.
Right.
We could just do all kinds of
things.
Well, thank you. We need
to. Thank you.